Shalom to all. Today's office is about Basra and Zion, and we are starting right at the top of the Amud. And today's office sponsor, Lilu Nishmas, Marsh, Miriam, Sar, Basra, Yaakov, Moshe, Her, Nishama, should have an Aliyah. Now we're right in the middle of discussing ICIs, which literally means letters, and it refers to shtaris that are being sold. For example, Reuven is owed $100 by Shimon. He could sell that debt to Levi. And this machlokes is how these shtaris are acquired, through simple mesira, just handing them over? Or do we also need to have a shtar written, clearly stipulating that all the shibudim in these ICIs are being acquired? So Omer Meir tells us, Hilchasa the halacha is, ICIs nekas with mesira, that these ICIs are acquired only through Masira, and wouldn't also have to write a shtar to that effect. And Rabbi, this is like Rabbi's opinion that we had yesterday. Normally Rashi Lameimar, Rashi asked the Meimar, Gemara or Svara? Is this a Gemara, meaning this is a tradition, a Masara that you have from your Rebbe, or is it just a Svara? So Normally told him, Gemara, I have this as Masara. Now Amar Rashi said, Svara namihu, it's also a Svara. And why is that? The Isis Milin in who? Because these Isis, these shtaris, is just Mili, it's just words. The person who's buying the shtar is not actually trying to buy the piece of paper, as we explained yesterday. He's trying to buy the words that are written in them that says that Shimon owes $100, and you can't acquire words with words. It doesn't make sense. In order to be able to acquire the words in the shtar, you have to write another shtar. That's words acquiring words. That doesn't make sense, and therefore it's more logical to say that it's just acquired with Masira. However, the Gemara asks on this far of Vashi, Valai, they can't be, you can't acquire words with words. He tells as follows, Shnei shtars heim, there's two different shtars, which means we have two situations of a shtar, and depending on what's said, depends on how we look at it. Let's say a man tells two people, Zachu b'sadah l'plaini, I want you fellows to acquire this field for so-and-so. I want you to make a kinyan sudr, so this field that I own will now be so-and-so's, and v'kisul es hashtar, I want you to write a shtar regarding this kinyan. Chazer b'shtar v'ein chazer b'sada, he could be chazer from the shtar, meaning he could prevent them from writing the shtar, but he's not going to be chazer on the field because they already made a kinyan on the field. However, if he told them, al menashe tichtvu lais hashtar, I want you to acquire this field on condition the shtar is going to be written as well to that effect, chazer b'ein b'shtar b'ein b'sada, he could be chazer from both of those because they're clearly linked to each other. The writing of the shtar is linked to the acquisition of the field, and therefore we could be chazer from both of those. Now, this is not where the question is from. We continue on to another type. Rav Chiya bar Avin Amar Rav Huna, he tells us, Shlosh shtaris hein. There's really three different shtaris, meaning three different situations of shtar. Trei hada amran. Two are the ones that we just said. And what's the other one? Im kada meicher because of his hashtar. If a meicher was kaidem, he preceded and he wrote the shtar. Reuven realized that he needs some cash and decided he's going to sell some of his property to his good friend Shimon. And before the sale even happened, Reuven had the shtar written that I'm selling my property to Shimon. And that's because the cipher was local. He was around, he was able to write the shtar, maybe later on he wouldn't be available. And so Reuven has the shtar that says that Shimon bought this property from him, but again, the sale didn't actually take place yet. And why is this okay? Ein zayin hama beis on top, ka'is shenino. It's like what we learned, ka'isun shtar l'meicher, a shtar could be written for the meicher, afal pishen l'kech imoy, even if the lekech is not with him, because what are we chashish for? That maybe he's going to drop the shtar and the lekech is going to find it and be tovea that property from him? Well, if the meicher didn't mind writing the shtar without actually receiving money for it, then we don't have to mind as well, we don't have to make a big deal about it. Now, what happens when a kinyan is actually made? Once this one, meaning Shimon, the buyer, makes a chazaka on the property, he automatically acquires the shtar wherever it's located. And this is what we taught. Then chasim that do not have achrayas, namely metaltal and movable objects, that's the shtar, they're acquired when the chasim that do have achrayas, namely property, with kasev shtar and chazaka. In other words, if a person is making a kinyan on property, the moment he makes that kinyan, he automatically acquires metaltal as well. And right now we're understanding that how's this working? That when the buyer made the kinyan on the land, the seller is makne the shtar mechira to him, not physically, again, it's not that he's handing it over to him, but it's because he has the ratzon to, the desire to, and this is like mili, it's like words. And so we see that kinyan works with milim, just with words. So my answer is no, agav shani, a kinyan agav is different, meaning we misunderstood how this kinyan is working. It's not a kinyan of mili, it's not just a kinyan that's working through the desire of the makne, of the seller, that he wants to be makne the shtar over to the buyer, and therefore it's automatically acquired. It's working through a real kinyan called kinyan agav. And where do we see this? Tomat be'a, the loin kinyan b'chalipin, a coin is not able to be acquired through a kinyan chalipin, va'agav aranikni, but a coin is acquired agav property. That's his kinyan agav. And where do we see this? In a real story. Ki'adar Papa, havale chaser alfle zuze bechuzai, Rav Papa had 12,000 zuz by bechuzai, they owed him this money, and hakinu ni'alei the Rav Shmuel bar Abba agav asefet beisi, Rav Papa was makna these 12,000 zuzim to Rav Shmuel bar Acha, agav the threshold of his house, which means now the money is actually Shmuel bar Acha's, and he went to go pick the money up, and ki asa, when he came back, nafag la'ape ad tavach, Rav Papa came to greet him all the way until tavach. He was so happy that Rav Shmuel bar Acha went to pick up his money. And again, the only way that Rav Shmuel bar Acha was able to get the money from Bechuzai is because it was his. And how did he acquire it? Agav asefa debese. It made a kinyan agav based off the threshold of Rav Papa's house. And so we see the kinyan agav does work by money, and that's how the kinyan by the shtar over here is working as well. It's a kinyan agav, and therefore we do not have a raya that Mili is able to make a kinyan, and so the svara of Rav Ashi does not hold strong. wrong. And on to the last part of the Mishnah, we had said, all these things are not included in the sale of a ship. So the Gemara just asks, my antiki, what exactly is antiki? Amar of Papa, he answers, iska de begava, it's iska, it's the merchandise that's in the ship, that's not included in the sale. And on to another Mishnah, continuing to talk about metalplin and what is and is not included in the sale. Machar sakaron, if a person sells a wagon, lemachar sapradais, he does not sell the mules that are usually attached to the donkey. And machar sapradais, if he sells the mules, lemachar sakaron, he's not selling the wagon. Similarly, machar satsemed, lemachar sabakar, machar sabakar, lemachar satsemed. If he sold the yoke and all the things that come along with the yoke, he's not selling the oxen with them. If he sells the oxen, he's not selling the yoke. Now, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Huda says that really it depends. Hadam and Maidian, the money that's paid for this will tell us what he's buying. If he's buying just the tzemed, or if also included in that is the bakar. Ketzad, what's the situation? So Amar Loi, let's say he tells him, Machali tzemdech v'masayim zoz, sell me your yoke for 200 zoz, which is a crazy price. Hadavar yiduush ein atzemed v'masayim zoz. Everyone knows that a yoke itself doesn't cost 200 zoz. And so it's obvious that he's not just trying to buy the yoke, he's also buying the oxen along with the yoke. However, Chacham say, ein adam raya, the amount of money he paid is not a raya, and he does not get the oxen in this sale. So the Gemara tells us, Tanur of Tachliva bar Marava, Kamid Rabavo, or Tachliva bar Marava, Confront Rabavo, Machar Sakaroin, Machar Sapradais, if he sold the wagon, he sold the mules with them. As Gemara of Anna, Loi Machar Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah that the mules are not included in the sale. So how could you teach me that they are included? So Amalei, he asked him, Isamye, should I erase this braisa from my list of braises? Amalei told him, Loi, don't erase it. To Targi Masnisech, we could explain that what's your braisa talking about? Ba'adukin Bai, where they were attached to it. Meaning your braisa is talking about where the mules and the wagon were attached. So then when he buys the wagon, included in that is the mules. But our Mishnah is talking about where the mules and the wagon were separate. So therefore, when you just buy a wagon, the mules are not included in that. Going on to the next part of the Mishnah, we had said, Machas at Tzemed, Loi Machas at Bakar v'chulu. So as Machalik between them, Rebutin the Chamim, if a person buys a Tzemed, he buys the yoke, are the oxen included in that or no? And the main Machalikus was in regards to a case where he paid way too much money for it to make sense that he's just buying the yoke. Rebbe Yehuda says it's obvious that he's buying the yoke and the oxen, whereas the Chum say not so. So the Gemara asks, hey Chidami, what exactly is Machlokes? Even if you want to say, Dekar Litzimda Tzimda Ulubakar Bakar, that everyone calls a yoke and cattle cattle, Pshita Tzimda Zavinle Bakar Loi Zavinle, it's obvious that he only sold him the yoke and not the oxen. Because when you say the word Semed, yoke, it's obvious that you only mean yoke and nothing else. And Rebbe Yehuda would not argue in that case. Vel, rather you want to say, Dekar Nami Lubakar Tzimda, that's normal to call the oxen the yoke? Well, if that's the case, Kule Zavinle. That means that even according to Chachamim, he sold everything, not only yoke, but also the cattle. Because when he says, I want to buy the yoke, included in that is the cattle. So again, there's no machlekes there either. The Gemara says, this is a place where most people call a yoke, and oxen, oxen. However, there are some people that call the bakar, they call the oxen, the yoke. Now, Rehuda Sav Rehuda hold, Hadam Vadim. Then the amount of money paid by the sale, that tells us what he means. And when he says, I'm buying a yoke, and then he puts down 200 zuz for a yoke, which we said is way overpriced, obviously means the yoke and the oxen, because again, that would make sense to say that there are people that call yoke oxen. However, Rabbanan Sav Rabbanan hold, Ein Adam Raya, the money paid is not a raya whatsoever. So Gemara asks, Ein Adam Raya, if you want to say the money is not a raya, well then we'll have a bitul mekach. We should say there's bitul mekach. The whole sale should be null and void. This has to do with the Isra of Aina, of mischarging, or price fraud, if you will. We learned about this extensively in Bab Metziah. The general idea is that standard Aina is shtos mekach, that if a person is overcharged by a sixth of the normal price, then it's a valid sale, but that overcharge, that shtos, that sixth, has to be returned. However, if the overcharge was more than a sixth, then we say that there's bitul mekach, and the whole thing is null and void. And so why the Chum in our mission is saying that the dam is not a raya, and that it's a valid sale, we're discussing an overcharge of way more than a sixth, so it should be bitul mekach, it shouldn't be valid at all. And I have someone else on the top, chitim bitul mekach l'rabbanu leslehu, if you want to say the rabbanu don't hold a bitul mekach, namely, that any time there's a mischarge of a sixth or more, we just say that that extra money has to be returned, but it's still a valid sale. Veloy, that's not true, because Vatanan, we have a mission that says, Rabbi Huda, Amir, Rabbi Huda tells us, HaMechor Sefer Tayru Behemo Margolis, if a person sells a Sefer Tayru, an animal or a gem, Ein Lehen Aino, there's no problem with Aino, there's no issue of overcharging. The seller could charge as much money as he wants for these things, even if it's way over market value, and that's because a person is willing to pay whatever amount of money for these specific things. And Amru Loy, the Chum told Rabbi Huda, Loy Amru Ela Es Elu, it's only with these things. But in regards to other things, there is Aino. As we see clearly, the Chum hold that there is a din of Aino, and we're understanding over here that this means that there's bitul mekach if more than a sixth is overcharged. And so once again, strengthening our question, how can the Chum say Ein Adam Im Raya, implying that it's a valid sale, we should say bitul mekach. The Gemara answers, my Ein Adam Im Raya Nami Diktani to have a bitul mekach. What do the Chum and the Mishnah mean when they say the damim, the amount of money paid, is not a raya? It means that it's not a valid sale, and actually bitul mekach, the whole thing is nullified. nullified. We might say, alternatively, we could say, Ki Amar Rabbanan Ayno B'tol Mekach. When the Rabbanan say that we apply this din of Ayno and we're going to be mevatel the entire sale, Bechlei Shadas Toya. That's only if the price charged would make sense that a person would make such a mistake and he just ended up charging a little bit too much, a little bit more than the regular six that makes sense to overcharge, then we'll say, okay, it's Ayno and B'tol Mekach. Avoch B'dei She'en Adas Toya. But if the price that was charged was so outrageous, you couldn't even possibly think to yourself that the guy has any logical reason for charging such a price, that's what Ein Hadas Toya means, a person is not going to make such a mistake like this. Like we said in our Mishnah, 200 zuz for just a tzemet, for just a yoke, is way too much money. So then loy, the Chum do not say there's bitul mekach here. And why is that? Because Eimer Matana Yavlei, we say that the reason why the guy spent so much money on an item that was worth far less is because he just wanted to give a gift to the seller and he was hiding it or covering it over in the form of a sale. And that's what we're saying, the sale is not bitul. It's obvious that he wants to give him a gift and that's why he's managing to give it to him. And that's another way we can understand the Chum and our Mishnah. When they say Ein Adamim Raya, the fact that he gave him so much money, that's not a raya that he's buying the oxen, and it's also not bitul mekach, it's not a case of Ayna, because he's giving him way too much money, so must be a gift. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with another Mishnah with more cases. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.